This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
There, who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Quite an interesting question from Jesus we'll look at in a moment. The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "Well, the man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is this man who said, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now, the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Friends, as we look at this passage today, the first thing I want us to see is this place called Bethesda, this pool by the Sheep Gate. Now, historically, if you look at Nehemiah, he actually builds. It's mentioned that he builds one of these gates called the Sheep Gate. The meaning of this particular word Bethesda in Hebrew would mean house of mercy or house of grace. And the Aramaic, it could also mean shame and disgrace. What an interesting contrast to see the meanings of these two words in the different languages. One speaks about mercy and grace. The other one says shame and disgrace. What an interesting reality. It had five colonnades or portals. It's like these big arches, basically. And it was filled by all of these men and women who were lame or blind and sick in some way. And historically, this was the place. The reason why they called it the Sheep Gate was because this is where, if you wanted to sacrifice your animal at the temple, that is where the sheep would be washed and cleansed and be prepared to be taken into God's presence to fulfill the sacrifice. Now, I want to just point out a few important aspects that I think is really helpful for us to see. The first thing is that this area, this place, represents in many ways the law that has been revealed through Moses. If we see those five colonnades, the five portals basically mean, the number five points to the Torah, the law, the first five books of the Bible. It shows us that for men in our own ability, we are all in some way lame, sick, blind, unable to find our way, and we are often can run to the law, run to our religious activity, run to these things that say, I'm going to make a way for myself to somehow save myself, somehow set myself free from these things that I'm caught up in. Are you doing that? Are you finding yourself at times wanting to earn God's blessing, even earn God's miraculous power in your life? And it's in the context of this place of shame and disgrace, this place where you and I are confronted, because that's what the law does. The law shows us and convicts us by the Holy Spirit of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. The Holy Spirit convicts us, but the law is that mirror, is that thing that shows us our need for salvation. And it's in the context of this place where cleansing was supposed to happen, where the price was supposed to, we were being prepared so that the price would be paid so we could enter into God's presence, be set free from our sin. It's in this context that Jesus pitches up. Jesus walks in full of mercy, full of grace. Jesus steps into the house of mercy and the house of grace. And he now, in that moment, begins to show us and this man and all of the people around him that even though in your own ability and in your own strength, you're going to try and try to make yourself whole. You're going to wait for some miracle to happen, for the water to be stirred, for something to happen on your behalf. Somehow, and in many ways, it's just a hopeless case. This man was sitting there for 38 years. No miracle was happening. But God wants to step in to our situation. It is in God's presence that we obtain mercy and find grace. We saw that in our series on Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive what? Mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Friends, you and I need to understand that in our time of need, God steps in and being full of grace and mercy now sets us free. And you and I need to understand that by the law and by our effort, we are not going to be able to justify ourselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves. Galatians 3 verse 24 says, "So then the law was our guardian until Christ came." This colonnade, this place was there pointing towards Christ, but now Christ steps in. And in order that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 2 verse 16 says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." None of us would be able to be justified by God in our own strength, in our own ability. And so, friends, today I want to encourage you and I. Are you allowing God to come into and set you free from your pursuit of works? Are you willing to let God come into your shame and disgrace and replace it with grace and mercy? Are you willing to experience and take hold of what God has revealed? It's interesting that this man had been sitting there for 38 years, and it says that Jesus knew that he had been there for so long. It's interesting to note that the Israelites actually spent 38 years wandering in the desert of Kadesh. For 38 years, they were wandering in the desert, eagerly awaiting to do what? To cross over into the promised land that God had promised them. Jesus comes in, and he says, just like he does for the Israelites, says to them, okay, after 38 years, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to step in. I'm going to have you cross over into my promise. I'm going to let you take hold of the promise that I have given you. In the same way for you and I, friends, God is saying he wants you and I not to remain here, wandering forever, trying to fulfill the law. Because in the desert, that's where they received the law. That's where they began to be taught by God. That's where they began to understand who God was. But God didn't want them to remain there. He wanted them to step into the promise that he had for them. Friends, for you and I, that's what God wants to do with us today. He doesn't want us to remain an invalid, blind, and broken. But he wants us to step into his presence. Jesus asks a very pointed question to this man. Do you want to be healed? I know so many believers, and often I find myself in that place, where I know what's right, I know what I'm supposed to do, I know what God has revealed, but I just don't want to do anything about it. I don't want to receive it. You and I can sit here today and you can hear that God has set you free. It's not by works, but it's by faith. And we could walk away not receiving anything. Jesus is asking this man, do you want to be healed? What's his response? The lame guy gives a lame excuse. Sorry for the pun there. He says, you know, I've tried, but every time someone else steps in, someone else, you know, I want God's breakthrough in my life, but it only happens for those other people. I've been trusting God and I've been praying and I've been faithful, and it just doesn't happen for me. It only ever happens for someone else. Friends, God wants to set us free from this mentality. We can't live as people caught up in our desires just to, like, my identity. I'm just lame. I can't do it. When God has said He would do it when we walk in His ways. In the last 8 weeks, I've had, since moving to Clarksdorp, I've had at least 8 major incidences happen. When I say major, I'm talking break-ins, theft, accidents, carports falling on top of my car, insurance claims, gate motors stolen, break-ins. Yesterday, I spent the entire day in Potchefstroom sorting out the house that I have there after having been broken into, having to sort all of these things out. And I was like, yo, God, enough already. It could be so easy for me to complain. It's like, but what about all these other people have these blessings, and God only comes through for them. But for me, you know, friends, all of these things in 8 weeks, I'm still smiling. Because God is still at work. He's still on the throne. He is still at work. And I know that He's called us here, and it's easy for me to feel like all of this pressure is coming my way. And I'm like wondering, yes, so was this the right thing? I mean, I was very comfortable in Potchefstroom. I had a very nice house. I was living very well. I was safe. Everything was good. Nothing was happening. I mean, you should see the carport in Potchefstroom. That one is never going to fall down. But the one here in Clarksdorp falls down. It's so easy for me to get caught up in all of these bad things and have my excuses. Yeah, but Lord, You don't understand. It's the sixth time I've made an insurance claim. I'm not willing to step. I'm not going to walk in that way. And I want to ask you, and I want to encourage you, don't do the same. Don't look over the fence and say, oh, you know, my excuse is the reason why I'm not walking in what God has for me is because, well, all the blessings go to someone else. Can I give you a bit of a surprise and a wake up? God has got favorites. You are God's favorite. You are God's favorite. You are God's favorite. He is not a respecter of person. His word is true. And when He speaks, He wants us to walk in that and experience that and walk it out. Jesus says to this man, do you want to be healed? Then He gives this lame excuse, and Jesus doesn't even pay attention. God just says, He says to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Just like in the previous two miracles that we've looked at, Jesus doesn't go and say, okay, so go and do this, and let's quickly do a dance. And okay, now once you've performed, once you've done all of these things, now I'm going to, He simply speaks. And friends, I want to ask you, are you speaking God's word into your situation? Are you speaking, and are you allowing God's word to dictate and determine what happens in your life? Or are you going to continue in your excuses? Jesus commands this man. It's pretty clear. He says to him, get up. There's a requirement to do something. I know many believers who can quote the scriptures. They say, I'm filled with God's word. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. You know, they can quote all of these things, but the fruit of God's word isn't in their lives. Because it's just empty words. Because they never actually live it. They don't actually apply it. If I say that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, am I giving? But am I giving because I want to receive? No. I give because God says it's more blessed to give. The giver is always more blessed than the receiver. An open hand is a receiving hand. God wants you and I to live in that same way. But He wants us to do some things. Remember in this miracle that we experienced in Potchefstroom, there were no opportunities for us. But all I knew I needed to do is if we were going to see God move, the key was that we were going to continue to do something. We receive the link, go and look at the property. When you don't have, okay, now you've looked at the property, it looks like a good idea, you pray, you get counsel, God speaks. Then you have a word from the Lord. But Lord, I don't have the money. Don't worry, the money is going to come. But how, Lord? I don't know. Just continue to trust me. And that has been the principle in my life. That's how I've continued to walk out God's plans in my life. I've never forced God's hand. I've never been in that place where, you know, just naively like, well, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry, you know, God is good. I'm like, I have some bad days. You guys are my friends, you know. Sometimes I'm like, yes, man, this is enough now. But I refuse to be held back by my circumstances, because when I know God has said something, I'm going to start doing something. When last have you started to do some of the things God has spoken over your life? If God has said that he wants to use you to minister to women, are you reading and studying God's word? Are you praying together? Are you calling some ladies together to pray with them? Are you ministering with them? If God has spoken over your life to be effective in business, are you training and equipping yourself? Are you surrounding yourself with others that are perhaps are more, you know, advanced and more experienced? Yeah. Or are you just waiting for that miracle to happen? Yeah. God wants us to do something about the words that he has spoken. He says that we should get up. He also says that we should get and take up. He says to him, take your bed. For this man, I mean, besides the fact that it was unlawful for him to carry his bed, I mean, there's a lot of other things we could look into. But this bed was, for me, I think symbolizes this man's comfort zone. Lying there, oh, man, oh, the water's stirring. Oh, man, I'll just stay here on my bed. All of the excuses that we could come up with often is our comfort zone. Friends, when God says that you and I need to do and act upon his word, it's going to require of us to take hold of and step into and let go of some of the things we're holding on to. For the people of Israel who are wandering in the desert over and over, never ever, you know, the promises of God have been spoken. They just like, oh, when are we going to get into the promised land? But there came a day when Joshua said, prepare yourself today, consecrate yourself today, because tomorrow God is going to do great things. When you see the ark rising and moving, then you should move. And we see that there were tribes that said, no, we don't want to cross over. We're settling here. The half tribe of Manasseh. You go read them. The area that they actually settled in, they were always open to attack. They were forever being, you know, rampaged. And it's amazing to see, because they refused to take hold of God's promise and chose to settle on the other side of God's promise, they lost out. Go and study that portion. Go look at those tribes. And friends, for us in this next season, God is saying we're moving into something new. And that means we're going to let go of some of our comfort zone. God's going to require of you and I to do some things that we're not comfortable with. But it's not the way it used to be. It's not the same. I don't know, with each passing year, it's never the same. My kids are now 8 and 10, almost like, they're not the same as they were. I was looking at some photos the other day. Abigail, just my eldest, she fit right here, my forearm. Now when she asked me to pick her up, I'm like, yeah, so. Let me prepare myself. She's not a big girl. I'm just old already. We are meant to change. We are meant to move into what God has for us. And we can either reminisce about how things used to be or hold on to what we have and continue to make up more excuses why we can't take hold of what God has promised. Or we can say, Lord, I'm willing to take this step. I'm willing to take up my bed, and I'm willing to walk. Friends, God wants you and I to continue to walk today. You know, the religious leaders come to this man. They say to him, hey, why are you walking with your bed? You're not supposed to walk with your bed. And he's like, well, the man who healed me, I was lying on this bed before. Now I can carry it. He told me I must walk. Our religious systems, the world around you, some of those family members, some of those friends, will so easily point out why the miracle of God that's outworked in your life is invalid. Will invalidate some of the promises that God. I'm not talking about those airy-fairy promises. I mean, we've heard those. Some people share what God has said over their lives and what they need to do, and it seems like God changes his mind every 5 minutes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God has given me a promise to say, this is what I want you to walk in. This is where I want you to go. This is what I have for you. For us in City on Hill, God has spoken over us that we would send out 300 leaders to plant churches. We've done one. Mark and Maria preparing for the second. We've just sent Nevson to Zimbabwe. He's starting the third. God is continuing to expand us, and we're either going to take up our bed and we're going to walk in it, or we're going to be left behind. We're either going to continue in our shame and our guilt, or we're going to access God's grace and walk in his mercy. Joshua 22, verse 5, it says, only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, has commanded you, to love the Lord your God and do what? And walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Friends, that is God's commandment for us. That's how we walk in. Whatever God has said, we are going to do. We're going to walk that out. And when religion says you're not allowed to and wants to block us and keep us from that, we need to remind ourselves and remind them that if God has said something, he's going to do it because he is a faithful God. It's amazing for me that Jesus meets up with this man later on. Why would Jesus meet up with him again? I mean, the miracle's taken place. He's there. Jesus retreated in the midst of the crowd. Why would Jesus bother to meet him in the temple? I think it's because Jesus wanted this man to not just experience God's miraculous power in his life in the form of healing, but God wanted him to go on and to walk in all that God has for him. Yeah. Jesus meets him and he says to him, well, you are well, but now do not continue to sin, lest something worse comes upon you. When God's miraculous power and his healing, even his provision, some of those miracles that happen in our lives, they are not just there so that we can say, wow, that's amazing. God is awesome. Look at what God has done. But actually that we would go on to continue to walk out what God has promised. God wants us to walk as a people that are set apart, as holy people. And today, I want to ask you, if Jesus is speaking to you, if you're putting your faith in him and you're no longer performing in your own strength and trying to earn your salvation, earn God's pleasure and favor over your life, but by faith you're walking in his ways, that ultimately it's not about the blessings and the kind of the testimonies that you can have that God is after. God wants our hearts. He wants us to walk in his ways. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. It's so powerful for us to see that Jesus says to him that he should sin no more. What are some of those sins? What are some of the things that you're struggling with? This man was lame for 38 years. I know some of us have been struggling with some sins, and you're just like, Lord, I'm just not overcoming it. I believe that the way that we overcome is by obtaining mercy and finding grace. If you go and listen to Bruce's preach on the 28th of November in the morning, we spoke about us accessing God's grace. When we come to God saying, Lord, I need you to intervene. I need you to set me free. God is willing and able to do so. But we need to make that step. But also, we also need to say that I'm going to let go of these things. I'm not going to walk in those things anymore. Because God often sets us free from big things, and then we allow these small things to continue to trip us up. God wants us to take hold of more. Friends, today, and in this passage, I believe Jesus wants to once again affirm and reaffirm, as we've seen in all of these miracles, that he is the Son of God. that he is equal with God. That's part of the reason why the Jews were so upset with him. Not just because he told the guy to break the Sabbath by carrying his bed, but actually that he said that my Father is working. The fact that he called God his Father was so offensive to them. And in this world today, when you turn to someone and say, you know, God's my Father, I have a relationship with God, I can hear God's voice, people are like, are you crazy? Who are you? What makes you so special? Nothing makes me so special. Jesus makes me special. Jesus gives me access into his throne room that I can hear his voice. And friends, today I want to ask you and I want to encourage us that God is at work. He's at work in our lives. He's at work in our church. He's at work in our nation. And we can either choose to remain on our beds with all of our excuses, or we can say, Lord, I want to take hold of what you've promised. I'm going to ask the music team to come forward for us, and we're going to sing just a wonderful song, which is called Waymaker. The bridge says the following. It says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And I don't know where you are at today. I don't know where you are, what miracle you've been trusting God for. Perhaps you have a testimony of something and a breakthrough that God brought last week. Perhaps the last time you had a major thing happen in your life was 38 years ago. I want to encourage you to know this truth, that God is always at work. And the times when I felt like he wasn't working, the times when I felt like nothing was happening, if I look back, just like over the life of David, the life of Joseph, the life of Paul, so many people in the scriptures, and so many of us in this room can say, you know what, for years and years I was trusting God, and God brought the breakthrough. Eventually, my eyes were opened. My legs were strengthened. I felt like I could stand again. I could walk. I could step into what God has. And if you're far from God today, I want to ask you and encourage you to not allow those barriers, those things that, whether it's your doubts or your fears, it's as we saw Tim Keller speak of the fact that these miracles happen so that they can point us to the reality of who God is. God wants to be real in your life today. And I want to encourage you to put your faith in him, to not allow your circumstances to dictate any longer, but that you'd obtain mercy and find grace as Jesus enters into your Bethesda, your guilt and your shame. And right now, I believe God wants to minister to you. If that's you today, maybe we could just close our eyes. And I want to ask you, if you are far from God today, you've come today and you've just have, as I've been speaking, you've been feeling God just stirring in your heart. I want to ask you to raise your hand because I would love to pray with you. If that's you today, if you are wanting to put your faith in Jesus today and allow God to step in, maybe you could just raise your hand quickly for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's some hands going up. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Friends, let's just pray with these people. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are at work in these precious individuals' lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that today you are transforming their lives, Lord. And Lord, I know that the cares and the circumstances of this world would want to come to them and say, no, it wasn't right. It wasn't true. It wasn't really, you didn't really encounter God. You didn't really put your faith in him. God didn't really heal you. He didn't really set you free. Jesus wants to meet you and say, it's good that you're well now, but sin no more. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you every single day. And one of the ways that you and I walk with Jesus every day is that we are added to a local body that we can be encouraged and uplifted and discipled and be taught and be led into what God has promised. And if that's you today, I want to ask you, just as we, once the music team begins, I want to ask you to come to the front and we would love to pray with you and minister to you even more. But I want to ask, just as our eyes are closed, I know that God has been speaking to all of us that have been journeying with Jesus. There are some comfort zone things that we've been stuck in. There's been some things God's spoken over your life and said, I want you to walk in. I want you to step into that. And we've been reluctant. We've been waiting for certain signs, for certain things to happen. for the circumstances to be right before we take action. And today, God, I believe, is reminding you of some of those things. And a miracle is about to happen when you and I accept the word of Christ, which says to stand up, take up your bed, and walk. And if that's you today, if God's ministering to you, maybe just as everyone's been seated now, maybe you can stand up as just a proclamation saying, Lord, I want to stand up. I want to take hold of what you have promised. I want to walk in what you have called me to. I don't want to be held back any longer by my fears, by my circumstances, by my sin, by the opinions of men, but I want to walk in what you have promised. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.